chat. Keep it alive through these lines I write. I keep it live cause I thrive. I might just blow your mind tonight. I'm so hyped, but it's no hype. From this height, it's direct hits on sight. I'm your type, lend me your ears to show you that there's something in me. I'm not giving up, I'm standing right here, holding these days hostage. And I'll make this my year. We turning fear into love, and the love's in the air. I love doing this cause nothing compares, nothing can share. That same type of feeling when you're feeling in flares. They can't catch it, it's havoc. I rip to a tear, switch the scenario. My stereos, I leave them impaired. Variables start to change, and they're all in my range. I just gotta grab it, it's all mathematics. Every step is drastic, I make it fantastic. I'm trying to take your breath away, asthmatic.
This is live through the stereo. Go and let it blow, blow through the stereo. I'ma let it low, low through the stereo. Yo, here we go, go through the stereo, stereo. This is live through the stereo. Go and let it blow, blow through the stereo. I'ma let them know, know through the stereo. Yo, here we go, go through the stereo, stereo.
Yeah. Just nod your head with it, so explicit and vivid. Every image is intricate, intimate. I put my all into it, no scrimmage and no rules. I'm a pro tool, hear my heartbeat beat into the vocals. I'm so loco, lost my mind, oh no. It's ponderoso, dope so, no overdose cause it's dope. Yo man, this is house grown, mixed with some milestones. So I let the style flow, down like the Dow Jones. Bringing it with some foul tones, letting the crowd know we getting loud, so it's eardrum rudiments. Yeah, we bring it rude again. Move, little hooligan. Music for tuning in. Full time to the 10. I'm on my clock, like I told you. I'm doing this for dreams we pursuing.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to the Anti-Media Radio. Once again, with your host, Nick Burnaby, here on UCY.TV. Thank you guys all for tuning in, and make sure you check out our our website, theantimedia.org, where we post all kinds of breaking and different kind of news, different kind of perspective every day, bunch of different stuff that we post, really. And we're starting to shift. Of course, we're doing the news, and the news is coming out like crazy, especially with all this police statism and all these crazy things going on. But we're starting to work our way into some other stuff, including some entertainment. We got a Lee Camp video up right now on the anti-media about how the corporate media is warmongering us. And then we also have some music. We're starting to break into some music, and what we're trying to do is provide a complete platform, basically, for independent media, because it's a lot more than just news. You know, it's also satire and music, all that stuff. Because I guess everybody does more than just sit around and read news all day. I mean, besides me, I mean, I spend probably 12, 14 hours a day reading news and stuff, but I listen to music while I read the news and all that good stuff. So, I mean, it's just a cool perspective, cool way to entertain yourself while at the same time listening to music with a message, and that's what I like to call it, music with a message. And it's a way of escaping this mindless droning that's going on by this crap that's on the radio. Justin Bieber, Beyonce, Jay-Z, I mean, you name it. We're trying to break through all that stuff, the high barrier of entry where it's all kinds of money to get access to the networks and access to airtime and all that stuff. We're trying to be the mediary that directly connects our large audience with the people that are creating great content that has a message, whether it's news, whether it's music, video, comedy, satire, whatever. We got a bunch of different stories to cover tonight. I'm going to be joined up by my co-host DB Schwartz later on too. I'm not sure what time he's going to call in, but should be pretty soon here. We'll see. So first things first, if anybody wants to give us a call and talk about any of the stuff that's on your mind, whether it's about the news or whatever it's about, feel free to give us a call. The number is 718-717-8296, and you guys can feel free to give us a call. Talk about whatever it is you want to talk about. I think I'm joined now by DB. How's it going, man?
Hey, Nick. Doing good, man. Just reading up on a lot of the different things going on right now.
And there's a lot of it. I mean, what do you want to jump into first? I got my notes here, and I guess we can jump right into this whole Ebola thing, especially now. I mean, I was watching some news in the morning like I do every morning. I watch the CNN and Fox and MSNBC just to see what they're talking about. And, man, that guy died from the Ebola down in Texas, and they just kept showing it and showing it and showing it and showing it and showing it.
And the thing is, like, wherever it's hotter, it seems like it's going to really have a big problem with epidemics and pandemics eventually, mosquitoes and such. You know, it's still hot, and it's still a real summer. I mean, it's literally like breeding ground right now for all these people to be coming over from West Africa in the hottest part of the year for us. It's not like it's not planned. I mean, come on. This is every year. It's an October surprise for elections, some kind of distraction or something. But the problem with this is that they're going to try to use it as that, and it could easily spiral out of control, just like ISIS has. You know, ISIS served a purpose at first, and now it's out of control, and this thing could be too.
Yeah, and I think that's why they're doing so much fear-mongering. And you know, we're reporting on it and stuff at the anti-media, but I don't want to play too much into it just because I know it's like, you know, it's just one guy, and there's a very, very small chance that it goes to a, you know, pandemic level or whatever you want to call it. But at the same time, we do need to take precaution because we posted an article today from on the anti-media by Aaron Nelson. And basically, according to the CDC, by their own definitions of how to not catch Ebola, I mean, technically speaking, if you're in the same room with someone, you can catch it, which means it's kind, in a way, it's airborne. You know, it can be aerosolized if someone sneezes and there's moisture and water droplets that come out in their sneeze. And if you breathe one of those in, there's a chance you can catch this thing. So, you know, the best thing we can do is just be prepared. Don't you know, put ourselves in situations where we're going to catch this stuff. If anybody...
And order some colloidal silver. I know it's not a cure. People are touting colloidal silver and CBDs, which is basically cannabinoids from cannabis oil. And they're great shields. If you build up those things, if you build up spirulina, chlorella, there's all kinds of things that will build up in your system provided you take them regularly, and they'll provide you a shield and they'll really advance your immune system. These aren't cures, though. They're being touted as cures. Once you get Ebola, your immune system's got to be able to handle it and kind of be, you know, given the best environment it can to handle it, or else you just don't make it. So like the guy that perished, he just didn't make it. Now, the thing that worries me, and it's not even worrisome to me personally, but worrisome to me for the world, is they're able to save all the other four people that had been with Ebola, and they were white. It kind of makes me wonder if this isn't a directed attack, man. Like, it's not so much weaponized, but kind of tweaked so that it'll really only become a serious problem for certain demographics. I wonder if anybody maybe wanted to call in and chime in on that, because it seems like it's next generation warfare right now.
Yeah, I mean, it is possible, I think, from a biotech perspective, and I spent some time studying biotech back when I was in school and all that stuff. I mean, there probably is a way where you can tailor a designer bioweapon where you can make it target a certain demographic or people with a certain genotype or whatever you want to call it, a certain genetic code. And those genetics are normally isolated by the continent you're from or whatever, and many times even more isolated than that. Like, for instance, the Jews have a certain, you know, certain traits that only they have, and if you have this trait, then you're descendant from a Jew, and there's different ones for Chinese, Han Chinese, and all that. in Africa, it's the same thing. And I don't know. I don't. I guess all we can do is speculate about why it is hitting West Africa really hard and not really that many other places. I mean, maybe it just mutated and only and it's really hurting these people because they don't have immunity to it. I don't know.
But I mean, the thing that's kind of crazy to me, and I was listening to a program earlier today, which kind of it really summed it up for me. Ebola, yeah, it's a serious threat. It could kill millions. It probably will end up making millions die. But when you think about the fact that mosquitoes have killed, since they've kept track, which is the 60s, 74 million Africans, mosquitoes, from malaria and assorted other diseases, there's a whole lot of problems in the world going on. This could be a pandemic. Don't get me wrong. It could affect everybody in the world everywhere, and it's hot right now in the Northern Hemisphere, and it could spread. But, I mean, these are just more and more things that are just fear. They're just fear.
Yeah, I agree. I definitely agree. If it does get to the point, I mean, it's infected, what, 4,000 people or something like that over in West Africa. Now, don't get me wrong. That's horrible. But it's not really that many people. I mean, Israel almost wiped that many people out of Palestine this last bombing run they did. So, right.
I mean, that's where people need to get some perspective. And you need to understand, if Ebola did, say it went totally critical and killed 50 million people, that's a ton of people. That would mean it gets totally haywire, out of control, and mutates faster than we can possibly make vaccines. And it just kind of whittles out those that have really weak immune systems. It's going to really affect the weakest of the populations, babies and the elderly.
Yeah, and then people with poor sanitation, poor plumbing, and stuff like that. Those are also the demographics that are going to get hit the hardest. So basically the poor communities and all that stuff. If it does get on this pandemic level, so far it doesn't look like it will. Now, one thing that does kind of trip me out, I was reading this article the other day, and it was on Daily Zen, or not Zen Gardener, which I don't really, it's not a trusted news source in my opinion, but they are the ones that dug up this story, at least for when I first saw it, and I tracked it back and I went back through the sources. I had to go through like three sources back, and I finally dug it up on some old internet archives. And basically, it was an article from this outlet called the Citizen Scientist, which is a credible outlet. And back in '96, apparently there was a doctor/professor giving a presentation down in Texas, of all places, at a bio conference of sorts. And basically, this guy called for the weaponization of Ebola to wipe out. And this guy actually said this. This scientist said this. He wanted to weaponize Ebola to where it was can be transferred airborne, and then it would, and I quote, wipe out 90% of the population. And this is the sick mind of these people that we're dealing with. Now, he said, the reason he said it is because he said, well, it's because we're destroying the planet, we're using the resources, global warming, all this stuff. But there's way better solutions to fixing these problems, i.e., getting rid of the oligarchies all around the world that are exploiting all the resources and all that, rather than just killing people off. That is not the way to do it. But
establish four as a family. I mean, Jesus, just replace yourself. You and your wife, or you and your significant other, can adopt two children. Four as a family, and we're good to go, right? Do we need to do genocide? Can people not self-govern at least among their social lives? That we have two children, that is it. We've done our part. Let's focus all of our energy on making these two individuals amazing.
Hey, we have a caller in now from 818. How's it going? You're on the Anti-Media. What do you want to talk about?
Hey, what's up, brother? Manny, how you doing?
Pretty good, man. Glad you're calling back. What do you want to talk about?
Well, you know, I just kind of was analyzing a lot of different stuff, you know, because that's why I like your show, because you tell it like it is. You're not making it something up. And, of course, Ebola, they want to panic everybody where everybody's talking about it, and it's not what the anti-media people like you should be talking about anyway. They're just trying to scare you, like the flu shots. I haven't had a flu shot. I'm 54 years old. That's up June of this year, you know. And I think our own governments are trying to, you know, if you hear it in Mexico, kind of one of the news that we're hearing from Mexico is that the world order is trying to knock down and eliminate some people because they think our population is too much, you know, so little by little, you know, people are going to be killed out and stuff. But last week, Nick and your co-host, am I pronouncing it right? I'm English, D? Is that correct?
DB, yeah.
Yeah, okay, I just want to make sure. You guys had mentioned about the World War III and stuff like that, and I'm thinking, you know, in reality, we're looking at Civil War II in the United States going on. Then you also mentioned legal marijuana, which I think it's a joke because there's a loophole, because let's say, for instance, okay, it's legal to smoke marijuana in the state of California for the hell of it, right? But yet my employer, like, for instance, you know, working for, you know, basically at the studio doing production like I do, that, of course, I love being an activist more, so I pay that. I pay myself to be an activist, which is because I don't trust the government. You know, I don't vote. You know, I think the voting system is corrupt completely, you know, where, you know, people get more excited about voting for, you know, basically, you know, on the shows and stuff like that than anything else, you know. So here you are on legal marijuana, for instance, and you got, like, your employee goes over there and says it's legal to smoke it, but it's not legal. I still have the right to check you out, and if your drug test doesn't pass because of marijuana, you're kind of out of it, you know. Another thing you guys were talking about, which, you know, I was thinking about poor John Crawford after, I mean, I was just fired up about what you guys were talking about, because I love when I hear smart people talk, because a lot of people just talk for the hell of it, you know. It's illegal to carry weapons in Ohio, and yet poor John Crawford got shot down, and it just, you know, kind of just really, really bothered me.
And what did it do up in L.A., though? It galvanized the whole community. I saw they shut down the sheriff's office today.
No, John Crawford was in Ohio, yeah, but, yeah, you're talking about the same thing. They did shut down the PD today because the protesters, the people, the family, the friends, the protesters that were there, they went in the police department and said, hey, we're not leaving until we get some accountability from these killer cops.
Yeah. Well, the thing right now in L.A., too, the president's coming, so it's kind of going to be crazy tomorrow anyway. But one of the things that we did in L.A. today, the Mexican consul, on that story that you guys were talking about, Mexico City, remember we mentioned it, 1968, October 2nd, we want accountability from the Mexican consul of why our students are not back and stuff like that, you know?
Yeah, man.
The mass grave that got found with the 43 bodies in it and how many students were missing. I mean, when you start taking out the next generation's thinkers, the society has to understand that there's somebody at the top that wants them gone. The society in Mexico is kind of like a litmus for us, man. Whatever's going to work down there, they're going to use it on us.
Yeah, and exactly. The thing that was really trippy about the whole thing, too, is that you mentioned how it happened back in 1968 on, I think you said October 5th or October 4th.
October 2nd,
you said. Mm-hmm. It happened on almost the same day this year. I mean, it was what, October 4th that it happened this year? I mean, it's crazy that it happens like that. Hey, we got another caller on the line from 702. What do you want to talk about?
I just want to talk about pretty much everything that you guys are talking about, you know, the whole marijuana thing, to the Ebola crisis, to what's going on over there in the Mideast. You know, everything's just freaking crazy right about now. And for the most part, you know, all of it is just seeming as though it's a manufactured media hype fueled by war and a whole lot of money that's not being trickled down to everyone else.
Well, they're trying to bring us to our knees, man, because there's so many of us, and now we're waking up, and it's starting to scare the fucking shit out of them, I can tell.
I think there's another point here that we can make as well with this whole Ebola scaremongering, fearmongering campaign, is that this could also be the perfect distraction for war and for putting our ground troops in there. Now, if you pay attention to what these idiots on the corporate media are doing, there was we talked about it on the last show, John McCain and Lindsey Graham actually put out an op-ed on Wall Street Journal. If you look at the undertones coming out of the corporate media right now, they're laying the groundwork to put ground troops into Iraq and Syria. I mean, there's no hiding that fact at this point. That's what they're doing. That's what the plan was all along. They told us that, no, it's about ISIS and, you know, we're just going to knock out these terrorists. But now the real story is coming out. They want to put ground troops in there. They want to take Assad out of the game. They want to lay down. And then the truth is, and once we get underneath all of that stuff, the truth is they're trying to build a pipeline through from Saudi Arabia into Europe to cut Russia out of the European natural resource market.
And who benefits too, and who's going to be the proxy army? Turkey, because Erdogan said, we're going to bring in ground troops. They're going to run that pipeline through Turkey so he gets his cut. And he has a huge, huge tank army.
And the pipeline in Turkey is actually already built. It's ready to go. It just needs something to connect into it. And it's no secret. I posted some stuff earlier today on my own personal Facebook page. I plan on covering this for the anti-media hopefully tomorrow. But I pulled up a few articles that are pretty telling about what's really going on and why they want Assad out of there. Well, both Turkey, Qatar, and Saudi Arabia want Assad gone, and that's just a fact of life. And if you look at what's happening right now in Kobani or whatever, I don't know how to pronounce it, but if you look at what's going on there, ISIS has these people trapped, and they're basically trapped up against the Turkish border. And the Turks are first of all restricting their flow, so the people are trying to evacuate. The civilians are trying to get out of there so that the Kurdish militia can fight these ISIS guys, and Turkey is really halting the flow of people out of there. So if ISIS does finally beat the militia, then they're going to have a bunch of people that are right there that are trapped on the border that are going to get slaughtered. And now Turkey, if you look what happened in Turkey between the last few days, a bunch of Kurds, because in Turkey 25% of the population are Kurds, and these people took to the streets and they started rioting because they want to know why the hell their government's not helping out or at least opening up the border so that they can start sending people in there to fight
and it's
sending
spreading
weapons
to Europe.
In.
It's spreading. This is the thing, man, about why it's so polarizing. It's spreading to Europe, where Kurds are attacking Turkish embassies in Germany all over. And Turkey has tons and tons and tons of immigrants over in Germany. And now the Kurds are flooding in there, right, because they're political asylum seekers. It's going to spread. Europe's going to go on fire as a result of this. Even if it never becomes this giant world war, it's still going to become this giant ideological war soon.
I agree with that. Well, you see what Declan Hunter said, right, in the media, because he's down here by the border. He accused that there were seven members of that organization. Is it called EASY again? Or, you know, my English is kind of on that group you guys are talking about. That they came in from Mexico to down here to cause some problems in California and Texas. I mean, that's what he's claiming. But he's running for re-election. You know what I mean? So who do you believe? You know?
Oh, yeah. I think you're talking about Duncan Hunter. I think he's a Southern California representative, too. Yeah. And everything that he said was basically a lie. I mean, there is no proof that ISIS is coming up through Texas and California. I mean, it's just more and more of this fear-mongering crap that these guys are trying to – yeah, and I think, honestly, in all reality, I think the Ebola thing, considering that only one guy in the U.S. has this and only one person has died and they're making this much of a stink about it, I mean, how many hours are devoted on the corporate media to Ebola in the last week? This is the distraction, and this time they've disguised it a little bit better. It's not Miley Cyrus. It's not Duck Dynasty this time. This time it's actually something that could hurt somebody, but it's definitely a distraction, I think, and they're going to use this to pull the wool over our eyes while they send troops right into Iraq and Syria. That's my opinion. I hope it doesn't turn out that way, but it seems like that. And so I guess it's on us to try to put a stop to it, spread the information about how these guys have been planning to topple Assad for the longest time, how they basically lied to us about... See, the whole thing is like, it's like this mission creep stuff. So the thinking behind all this going into Syria to quote-unquote attack ISIS, it's all about the mission creep. So when Obama finally does come out and say, oh yeah, well, you know, come to find out, we do have to take Assad out.
Which he did on 60 Minutes, not a week ago.
Yeah, and so they're going to be like, well, our guys are already there. I mean, we're already bombing in the country. We might as well just bomb Assad too. And, I mean, Lindsey Graham and John McCain are saying, yeah, if we bomb Assad, then that means that we've beaten ISIS. Like, what in the hell are you guys thinking? If we take Assad out, then ISIS gets the whole country. Like, what the hell are you guys thinking? Are you serious?
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Hey, where are all these people getting their weapons from? I mean, that's the big thing, and it all keeps pointing back to Russia and the U.S. I mean, all these
subsidy companies militaries from Russia and the U.S. need to, you know, be halted from selling these guys weapons. So they
What if it's Israel? What if it's Israel and that's why they're not attacking them?
I think you're definitely right. The people that are propping up Assad are the Russians and possibly the Chinese. Most likely the Russians, because they're the ones that are going to be cut out of Europe if Assad falls and they build this pipeline. Then Russia, a big source of Russia's revenue source, is basically gone, a big source of their marketplace. So Russia is definitely propping up Assad. And then on the other side of things, these reports came out back in 2009. Now, this is before everything with Syria even popped off. So a lot of these reports came out in 2009 about how Qatar wants to take Assad out, about how Turkey wants to take Assad out, and about how Saudi Arabia wants to take Assad out. And we have an interest in taking Assad out because that will preserve our petrodollar, and it'll put Russia a step back. It'll push Russia back from the world stage. It'll cut off all of their money making and all of their power, because all power is derived from economic. With enough economic power, then you can build a huge military.
But it's pointless with BRICS. It really is. What people have to understand is this is a big game to kill people, so there's more control for governments, because BRICS already makes this a moot point. This is an exercise in murder, and that is going to be it. I'm sorry, man. I got to call it out for what it is.
Yeah.
You're actually right. That's why the Zapatistas are making a big movement again, and I've been monitoring the border today because all the protesters started in the state of Guerrero, which is my hometown, but it didn't start in Acapulco. It's basically in a place called Ayotzinapa, which is spelled Ayotzinapa, you know. And so things are really happening down there and stuff like that. Well, I was thinking about what Didi said about the garden, so I'm thinking, well, we can't create our own gardens because we can't be off the grid, because the United States, to protect those companies, they want to make sure that if you're off the grid, it's illegal. I mean, it was sad for me to hear that somebody that I knew was collecting water from the rain and they find them. How can you find somebody if I collect them in buckets from the rain? It's ridiculous to me, something like that. I mean, it's just amazing, you know? And so, you know, going back to what the cartels are doing in Mexico, controlling everything, the reason I think it's a big joke about them being locked up here in the United States, because they still run, you know, their organization. They can be locked up in L.A. County or they can be locked up in Tijuana, and they still run the show because bribes. It's just amazing what bribes will do. So if you can't even control your jails in the United States, how the hell are you going to control the border? That tells me you don't want to control your jails, and you definitely don't want to control your border and stuff like that. And so when I was talking to somebody in the Mexican Council today, he said, I actually agree with what you said last year. The reason people are not paying attention, you know, in the United States, because everybody's either on pot, drugs, alcohol, stuff like that. We need people like you guys that know what you're talking about, that we're on our sixth senses, and we're not medicated by the pharmacies. I mean, people here are medicated so bad, they believe everything they hear, and it's kind of sad. I mean, because I have a lady that told me yesterday, oh, you don't understand, I trust my government 100%. Man, get this lady out of here, please. You know, stuff like that.
the only medicine you need has a stalk or a stem.
Yeah, I mean, I truly think, I mean, honestly, I think marijuana and even cocaine is less dangerous to when it comes to our society than these pharmaceutical drugs. For one, looking at the numbers and the statistics, pharmaceutical drugs kill a lot more people than the illegal drugs, and that's including heroin and meth and all that stuff. But the second thing is that when these people get on all these medications, and I don't want to knock anybody for having to take medications, but I'm just talking about the over medication of the population, and they stick everybody on all these psych meds, and then they put them in front of a TV, and it kind of turns people into a zombie for a little while, man. And I know a lot of people. I know a lot of people that were formerly on a bunch of medications and they were making them sick. And so they'd put them on one medication. That would make them feel bad. So they put them on another to counteract the side effects. And my own brother, which is a disabled veteran, they had him on some meds that basically blocked his endorphins. And so they had to put him on another medicine that would boost his endorphins. I mean, this stuff is absolutely crazy. And then you combine that with the mind-numbing media, the reality TV and stuff, and it really turns people's brains into mush while they're on the stuff. And it really just turns people into these complacent, docile beings that kind of, you know, as long as they still got their couch and their TV and their game and their job and stuff, it's to them it's not that bad. But for people that aren't caught up in that loop or caught up in that system and are kind of awake to all the propaganda and all the distractions and all the other crap, the wasting of your money and all that, for us it's like almost unbearable to see this crap happen, you know, and it sucks. But you know, all we can do is just one by one, you know, person to person, whether it's your family, your friends, just continue to spread this stuff, spread the information. And sooner or later, yeah. I think we reach a critical mass. And I think we're pretty close, man. I think we're 5 or 10 years out, maybe sooner, maybe a little longer. I'm not sure. But I think we're getting to that critical mass point in time.
Yeah, I like kind of Beatty when he said Monday, you know, that it's the new crack of these pharmacies and stuff like that. You guys also mentioned we're 47 in freedom of the press. And I made a note to tell you this, you know, on this show that I'm, you know how sad for me to come from Mexico City, supposedly the most powerful and richest country in the world. Why are we 27 in education? That tells me that we don't, our government doesn't care that if we're educated here. The dumber we are, the better, stuff like that. So you have
with Common Core, they've proven that they're actually trying purposely to make us stupider.
Okay. Wow, that's sad. That really is. It's just amazing, you know. So I tell you one thing, that man, I'm glad you guys are, you know, putting out facts out there. So hopefully that somebody that's really want to make a difference is really, you know, like me, for instance. I became an activist and then never got married, had no kids. I stayed single all my life. Why? Because I'm very committed to activism work and stuff like that. One of the sad things that's happening right now that people need to pay more attention, and I was just doing that, a big march down at Tar Park in on Wilshire in Los Angeles. Oh my God, I lost my appetite because I'm very passionate about animals. We're out there marching to give awareness to people about the rhinos, the lions, and the elephants. You know how sad our next generation, you know, will say, what happened to them? And for that to happen on my watch, it's just ridiculous. It's what they're doing just for this ivory. And it's sad that in California, 60% of the ivory that's coming to the United States is sold right here in California. I mean, that's really sad to kill a poor animal over their tusk or the rhino. And the way they do it is even more just completely, you know, those poachers, they're out of control, you know?
Yeah, we actually covered that. We covered some of this information on the anti-media, I think last week, about in the last 40 years, since the 70s, literally half of the wildlife that's not in captivity is gone. It died. I mean, a few species went extinct, but a bunch of species have lost a lot of their natural habitat and the natural, you know, indigenous numbers that they had. And whether it's from poaching, exploiting resources, I'm sure a lot of it came from Brazil, where they're cutting down a lot of the rainforest and stuff. I mean, we're not being good stewards of the planet. And
well, people should look at what really got hit, which was flying insects and bird populations. And if everyone looks up in the sky and sees what the hell is up there, then you know why.
Well, yeah. And then you also got all the pesticides and the, you know, the neonicotinoids. And this is one thing that came up a few months ago about how the bees are dying off and stuff. And everyone knows about that. But the thing is that the pesticides that are killing the bees, they're also killing a lot of the other insects. And the insects are basically the bottom of the food chain. If you get rid of the insects, then all the animals that eat the insects start dying, and all the animals that eat the animals that eat the insects. I mean, we're disrupting the food chain with these pesticides, not only by killing the insects, but also by altering the food as well. I mean, there's real questions about the long-term safety of a lot of these genetically modified organisms and their impact on the ecosystem and the biodiversity and stuff. And there's just so many ways that we need to
But that's being be nice, Nick. There's no questions. They've seen what they do to lab rats. In 3 generations, you're sterile. In the 2nd generation, you have inherent cancer, meaning you're kind of born already with cancer. They know what they're doing, man. The only way to prevent it, I really don't even know. I think for us, we may end up dying before our parents, man, just because of the toxicity of our environment.
Hey, from 702, did you want to chime in here? You're still on the line.
Well, one thing I would love to talk about is the fact of all this overpopulation talk. I want to get everyone's take on, do you think that the planet is overpopulated, or do you think cities are overpopulated? And with the amount of land use that is not being used, and the available spots for people to live at, which are not being utilized right now, do you think that people should probably learn to spread out instead of just hoarding in mass numbers to just certain spots, which really affect the ecosystem big time?
Oh, yeah. I mean, we got to get off. The main thing is we got to get off the coast, because it makes us very, very vulnerable to anything that happens. And we can't grow food really well on the coast, most likely. You got to go into the interior. So, yeah, we got to spread out for sure. The carrying capacity of the Earth is like 11 billion, meaning we can kind of comfortably hold that many, and we have 7. We're wasting half the food we grow, so we grow enough for 14. But they're saying like 11 is comfortable, you know what I mean? But that's resource-based. You got to go to a point where one world government that we run is going to spread all the resources around and cut out the elite. They'll be an elite class, but they're not going to be like they are now, where they're gods. They're going to be like 10 times what the average guy makes, not 10 million times what the average guy makes. It's just ungodly right now. But yeah, man, we're not overpopulated. Even if we go into a mini ice age, which looks like it's going to happen, we'll still be able to carry 7 billion. But they'll make it seem like we can't, because the less people, the more control.
Right.
I think that people kind of, you know, if you look back in history, there's always been like a tribal order type of thing where people, it's not that people want to be, you know, you don't want to be secluded to your own, you don't want to be a hermit, but, you know, it wasn't until only a few thousand years ago when we started living in these massive, massive cities. And I think the reason why we initially had these cities, and I was in Los Angeles like a week ago, and I mean, that city is just absolutely enormous, you know. And we live in San Diego, which is considered a pretty big city. We've got like, what, 3 million people in our whole county or whatever. It's a big city.
Yeah, but LA, a 20 minute car ride's an hour and a half because of the sprawl and the people, and no, you could never make rapid transit that could support that. And yeah, man, we're in the most perilous position there is right here. If you want to talk about the problems of just merging everybody into one place, here you go. Right now we're talking about, what are we going to do for water? And we only have 3 million people.
Yeah, and I think back in the day, the reason why we started making these huge cities and stuff was because of the lack of technology, because of the lack of communication. But nowadays, I think we can start moving back away from these population centers and comfortably live out in rural areas where we have homesteads. And back to what you were saying from 702 about the unused space. Here's a number to think about. The federal government owns and controls 650 million acres. That's more than enough land to give every single person in the country 2 acres of land. And if we were to say, okay, how about we only give land to the 30 million people that are in poverty? Well, then you got something like 10 acres each. I mean, and this is all land that's being held by the government. It's made up of military bases, or it's just not being used. A lot of it is preserved and stuff. But if we were more sustainable with our use of the land and stuff, it wouldn't be bad to move out and decentralize away from these huge population centers, because I think DB is right. That's what makes us really vulnerable. Because let's just say that you're living in LA and you're living down in the near sea level, and there's a tsunami or a big earthquake or something, and you got to get out of there. Guess what? You're not going anywhere unless you got a motorcycle or a bike or some other way of getting out. You're stuck, and there's going to be there's going to be 5 million other people that are trying to get out at the same time as you. And guess what? A lot of people are going to die because of it.
And you know what? To make it even crazier, they're nationalizing the San Gabriel Mountains, man. Manny, I don't know if you know about that, but they're boxing in LA, dude. They're boxing it in. They don't want the sprawl anymore. They're going to stop it, and people aren't going to stop having kids.
Oh, wow, dude. Wow, I didn't know that one. Wow.
Yeah, people are human. They're not going to stop having sex. I mean, that's just not going to happen. people love sex, and they're going to repopulate no matter what, amongst the races, within the races. It's just something that you just cannot control. That's just totally out the box. I just truthfully think that the whole thing about the control factor is what's really scaring me right now. It's not really too much of the other things that are going on, because those other things can be stopped and controlled. But the whole, I just want to control a lot of amount of people with a few people is just killing everything for me, because no matter what, those few people are going to always feel entitled to do what they want to do. And
who can
check
them?
They want to back it with it's because we're rich or we have the knowledge, and there are still a lot of good quality people out there that can, run stuff and do stuff successfully, and it can be listened to by other people and learn also, and go along with the plan and be into some sort of system and keep everything going, but I'm just, it's just beyond me why I just can't figure out why they won't let, some of the quality people do that,
I think they're afraid of the years of corruption and the proof of it coming back and imprisoning I'm talking about millions of people across the globe going to jail for life and their families losing all of their ill-gotten gains because they've been doing crimes against humanity, quite honestly. And they don't have another game, man. Their end game is all us die or they die. That's it.
Right.
Yeah. It kind of seems like
you said that last week about, why the state cops are starting to wonder, start having their kids, and then they're going to be worried because they're going to say, wait a minute, they start, we start messing with these activists and stuff like that, pretty soon they're going to start shooting our kids because they're elite. And you kind of brought something to my attention. Down there in San Diego, the cops are a lot better than L.A., and they have to be because you got, cartel asking activists, if you need 20,000 of our people to go down there and start doing the work for you guys, we could cross the border with no papers. We don't have no problem.
Yeah, man. I think we could, if we got this generation, got them going, we could make California independent within the next generation, because we're losing $20 billion a year to the federal government, and we're in a deficit because of them.
Yeah, exactly. Stuff like that. So, man, I love to do a Spanish show for you guys down there in San Diego, by the way.
What was that?
That's one thing that really got to me. Is how they the government would allow known currently active, never try to be reformed or anything like that, come over into the country and actively, operate under gang pretenses, taking a lot of American dollars out of America, number one, and just to be hoarded by these cartels. It's similar to watching American gangs do it, but at least the money stays here and can be, controlled a whole lot better, or take it in Africa where things just really went left field in some of those smaller nations where they would entrust people to run things and do things correctly. And, the whole power sense, the same thing that we're having over here now. And then next thing you know, there's just mass murder, genocide, similar to how we see here in America, but on a way larger scale. These are the kind of things that really affect me. Man, I'm 100% American. I don't know anything else but this. And there are a ton of people just like me, just as black as me, regardless of how anyone feels. We don't want to go anywhere. We'd rather fight and, fight next to people.
We'd rather fight for each other, man, because we have culture and we have upbringing. And we finally, this generation is starting to shed this racism bullshit. And it's going to make us strong as fuck. This next country coming up is going to be too strong for them. That's why they're trying to break it down, man.
Yeah, and I think back to what you were saying from 702. If you look back at what the British Empire did to China, how they got all those people hooked on opium and stuff, I think that's kind of the same type of thing they're doing, and why the CIA has been involved in trafficking drugs and bringing drugs into the country. Why the we talked about this on Monday, why the some of the cartels get immunity from the government. They're allowed to cross drugs. They're allowed to cross weapons back south, because I think it's part of their goal to get everybody hooked, and then also to turn everybody into criminals. I mean, who do you know that has never smoked weed or never done coke? I mean, there's maybe what 75% of the population has either smoked weed or done coke, if not higher. So there's a potential there to incriminate anybody, turn anybody into a criminal. And if you look at the people that are in jail, that are especially the people for nonviolent, mostly drug charges and stuff, I mean, these are the best and brightest of the country. The people that they're locking in jail for drugs, these are entrepreneurs that are willing to break the rules because they're pushed out of the system. There's too high of a barrier of entry to enter into a business. I mean, the United States is not easy to open a business. It's easier to open up a business in Mexico than it is in the United States.
Correct.
And you know, they're doing a brain drain. They're locking up all the free thinkers in jail because these are the people that are willing to think outside the box. They're willing to break the rules, and they've got an entrepreneurial spirit. So they throw all those people in jail because they know those are the people that could potentially be the most effective against them one day. And
they're trying to phase out the divergence, man. Like, look to popular culture. Anybody that's a free thinker, like you said, outside the box, that's going to come up and start altering the thoughts of other people around them, like me and you do every day to who we talk to. We brainwash for good, and they don't want people to brainwash for good. If enough people here start calling these fools out on what they've done, they're going to be basically executed, dude. And they're playing for keeps.
Oh yeah, you guys have a lot of fans. Just to let you know, in Tijuana, they told me to say hi to you guys. A lot of them are bilingual, but a lot of them don't speak English that well. And they even asked me, number one, how do you get, a copy of your shows? Number one, and number two, when are you guys going to start doing your shows in Spanish also, so you know people can get into it too? Because they're fired up about your show. Let's put it that way, okay?
Nick might be able to hang conversationally, but I'm just going to be sitting there and going, "See."
Yeah, I could swing a little bit of conversation in Spanish. That's awesome news, man. It's great to hear that it's crossing borders and stuff. And I know we had a few listeners overseas, but I didn't know we had a good contingent down in Tijuana, down in Mexico and stuff. That's great to hear. And, that's a good idea. I've had people – I've been thinking about translating our website into Spanish as well. But it would be awesome to get some Spanish language radio shows going. Maybe you could help us out with that, Manny.
Oh, I'd love to, because think about it. Next to English, the most country is in Spanish, stuff like that, you know. That's why right now, no disrespect to the caller from 702, but when he said he's 100% American, I wanted to kind of clear that, because you're talking to the guy from America, so I'm saying, what America are you talking about? Obviously, I kind of read that he's talking about the USA, so I wish he would have said, I'm 100% Northern America, so that we don't get confused on South America. Because, you know, you got friends all over and activists from all over the place, you know, South America, Central America, Latin America, like myself, you know, so I just kind of, you know, wanted to mention that too, you know.
Yeah, yeah. I met some people yesterday. We went down to the 3-year anniversary of Occupy San Diego yesterday, and I got some video. I'll probably be putting the video out tomorrow. I'm going to be working on it tonight after the show. But I met some people from Spain, and we got to talking, and they wanted to know about any counter economic movements we had going on down here and activist groups and stuff. And we got to talking about Ukraine and the whole thing in Syria and all that stuff. And these people, it was a guy and two women, and they were very, very knowledgeable. They understood what's going on in Ukraine, how it's basically a NATO takeover. And they knew about the neo-Nazis that are partially running the show in Ukraine now. And they understood that the reason why the West and NATO and Europe was backing Ukraine was because it's a geopolitical game against Russia and stuff. And I don't want to make it sound like as if we favor Russia or as if we're fans of Putin, because we're not. I think Putin is probably just as bad as Obama. But you know, the whole point is that these people were telling me, like, you know, all these democracy movements, Egypt, all these countries where there's been these popular uprising, you know, they were like, the U.S. is always going in there and sticking their nose in and corrupting the popular revolutions. And this is a point that we've made before on the show. I know we talked about it a few months ago, but it's why it's so important for us being in the United States to take back control of our government, being that we are the biggest, strongest military in the world and we have the most influence around the world. It's up to us to reel in our government. Otherwise, all the other countries in the world, let's say tomorrow that a revolution popped off in Mexico and there's a popular student democracy movement. I'm telling you, the U.S. would get in there one way or another and corrupt it, just like they did in Ukraine, just like they've done in Syria, just like they did in Libya, just like they did in Egypt. Now, Egypt
is just like they did in Iraq right now. Just sorry to butt in, Nick, but, man, it'll spread anywhere with students. They'll try to kill the next generation. I don't know if anybody's seen this video that's going viral, but 1,700 Iraqi students rounded up at an Air Force base and executed college students by ISIS. I mean, that kills your next generation. Those are 1,700 people that were going to do jobs. Who the hell is going to train to do those in the meantime? Nobody.
Yeah. Obviously, these military groups are preparing for an end game, which I would love to tie into Christian Bible, the Torah, in Revelations, you know, and everyone speaking of ending up in Israel. And just having an end battle, and lo and behold, here comes a god or a godlike figure or a extraterrestrial or whatever you guys want to call it. It's maybe even a spiritual being. No one knows. But as far as I'm concerned, these military guys are, these military factions, what they're doing is trying to get to that point to either see God or something godlike for whatever purpose, just to see if it may be true. No one knows.
I think you're right, and I thought about that before. I thought about that before, is that these guys are trying to force revelations. They're trying to force the prophecies and stuff. You know, building the third temple, all these things got to happen. I'm pretty sure that Iraq is tied in because Iraq is ancient Babylon. Obviously, Egypt has a role to play because Egypt is part of all that, you know, all of that spiritual, you know, Abrahamic religious stuff. And, you know, in Egypt, the situation went from bad to worse. Basically, they had Mubarak, and then they supposedly had a democratic election, and then the Muslim Brotherhood swept into power, and then the Egyptian military, which is backed by the U.S. I mean, we literally built that military from the ground up, and the Egyptian military also controls about 40% of the economy of Egypt, and now the military just did a coup. You know, and so the all this revolution in Egypt, all these people in the streets, at one point there was like 30 million people in the streets in Egypt. All of that stuff, all of that momentum, all of that drive, all of that power, all of that social contagion was used up, and now it's been usurped by the military, the dictatorship, which is a puppet of the United States. And this is a problem that we're going to see over and over again until the United States, the people of the United States, and the people of Russia get a handle on their governments. China, I'm not as worried about, because China doesn't seem as much, at least for now, they're not as imperialistic as the U.S. and as Russia is. Russia is nowhere near as imperialistic as the U.S., by the way. They've only got one base outside of their country, and it's in Syria. That's their only base outside of Russia. So we got bases in 100 different countries, and anytime anything pops off, whether it's in Korea, whether it's the one in Hong Kong, I mean, there's reports coming out that there's State Department ties in with the Occupy Hong Kong movement, which I hate to say it. And I understand that there's a lot of people out there that are students that really, truly want democracy. In fact, I think 99% of the people out there want that. But the problem is that all these movements, once again, get co-opted by the U.S. And Ukraine, I mean, we know what happened with Ukraine. Victoria Nuland, which was a State Department official, literally handpicked the current prime minister of Ukraine. And then Joe Biden's son got placed as a as one of the executives of their oil of the, one of their big oil companies and stuff. I mean, now they're just slapping us in the face with this stuff. I mean, it's ridiculous. Yeah, I think we have another caller on the line from 931. Did you want to chime in on what we're talking about? Hey, 931 hung up. Okay. They didn't, I think they were just listening.
Well, something positive has happened today here in the United States for people like myself that want to be told the truth and not some Mickey Mouse stuff in Seattle. It's a baby step, and it should have done in the whole United States, but hopefully it'll happen. We've been fighting, you know, in Los Angeles for Cesar Chavez to become a national, you know, basically just like Martin Luther King. Well, we finally won, at least in Seattle, that that this killer and terrorist that the United States has made a hero, Columbus Day, is now no longer Columbus Day in the city of Seattle. Now it's, you know, indigenous, you know, for the indigenous people, because I couldn't believe it. How can you put Columbus Day? I mean, that guy was more a terrorist than any other terrorist that we ever found. So it was a bad thing for us to know that you guys were celebrating Columbus Day. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, Columbus Day, we always have a field day with on the anti-media with the memes and stuff about all the horrible things that guy did and what he brought over here and the things he did to the culture. And that's one of the things, man, is that when these imperial powers come along, a lot of times they wipe out the culture or they'll change the culture. And that's what we've done. If you look at our track record with, for instance, with the Taliban and now with ISIS, the Mujahideen, Osama bin Laden. I mean,
can't we be like Alexander? At least that guy took wives, made kids, and assimilated them. I mean, Jesus.
Yeah, yeah. So, I mean, now what we do is we go in, and if we don't force the ideology on them, then we co-opt another portion of their ideology and turn it into a machine for our own use. And that's what the Mujahideen, all the radical Sunni operatives and stuff. I mean, these are a creation of the U.S. government. All these guys, the Taliban, all these guys, Osama bin Laden, whatever. I mean, they use them as tools to accomplish a goal. And unfortunately, in the process of this geopolitical game that these guys are playing, thousands, if not millions of people end up dying, you know, and innocent people all over the world because of what we do. And all we're doing now, and let's finish off here with this whole ISIS thing, because, you know, as this thing goes on, we're going to talk about this every week. The U.S. helped create ISIS. I mean, that's just a matter of fact. We were funding, we were funneling them weapons. We were giving them training with the CIA. We were using proxies like Qatar, Jordan, Saudi Arabia, Turkey, and to help build these guys up so that they could topple Assad, so that we can build this pipeline. And now if you look at Turkey, I mean, they're complicit in the massacre right now. And these people that are rioting, the Kurds that are in Turkey that are rioting, at least 15 of them got killed by the Turkish government. I mean, these guys are killing the Kurds inside of Turkey. And we can't forget that it was only 6 months to a year ago when we were hearing reports about car blasts going off and it was being blamed on the Kurds because there's a Kurdish separatist movement inside of Turkey. Just like there's a Kurdish separatist movement inside of Syria, just like there's a Kurdish separatist movement inside of Iraq. Because when these guys went and drew up the lines after World War II, when they went and drew a bunch of countries onto the map, they didn't account for the Kurds. They split the Kurds up into like six different countries. They're part in Iran, Iraq, Syria, Turkey, and Armenia, and part of these other countries and stuff. So they didn't account for these people. And so now these people are getting trapped on all sides. They're getting the worst side of the stick on everything. If you think back, Saddam Hussein, when we were still backing him, when we supplied him with chemical weapons, he used them on the Kurds. Now the Turkish are trying to eradicate the Kurds. Assad is the only guy that's not actually really trying to hurt the Kurds that bad. And one of the big things about what supposedly why Turkey doesn't want to help and fight ISIS, even though ISIS is right on their doorstep, is because the Kurds refuse to say that they want to overthrow Assad. Because like we've been saying, Assad is the end game. Assad is what they want. That's the main goal. The reason the Kurds are getting off is because they're actually secular. They're moderate, and they want to have freedom and independence, and we don't want that. We want either radicalists or puppets. That's it. Thank you guys for tuning in. Great calls. I appreciate the calls. Catch the show on Friday with LeBron. Same time, and we'll see you guys back on Monday and Wednesday next week. Make sure you tune in Friday, though, same time.
Bye.
I'ma let them know, through the stereo. Yo, here we go, through the stereo.